How cool is that? Hey, stand with me as we read some scripture this morning as we start today. It's good to see you all today. It's really good to see you all today. And good to see you online today. God bless you wherever you are and wherever you're at. People, the glasses, hi glasses, they're in the Netherlands. Can everybody wave the glasses in the Netherlands? That are why there's so many people watching from. It's a global church, people. And it's awesome what God's doing in our midst. And so here you go. Here's some scriptures for us that we're going to be playing with today. We're going to be thinking on today. Jesus said these words in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me." Isn't that cool? Isaiah 59, we go back 700 years for Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah wrote this. Says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you." Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Psalm 25:14, "The Lord confides in those who fear him." And that the Lord confides in those who honor him, respect him, fear him. The Lord confides. He makes his covenant known to them. Psalm 28:13, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And lastly, a famous one. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come those that are on a journey to meet, know, and to follow Christ. I, as a pastor, as a person who taught at Biola, as a professor, I am still on my journey, asking questions, Lord, to meet, know, understand, follow Christ as a disciple. Jesus, may your Spirit fall upon us this morning. May you help us understand the things that you've freely given to us in the Scriptures. And we pray, God, that you would do this for your glory and for your honor. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen. And you all may be seated. So, It's kind of cool. A few years ago, I was leading a tour in the land of Jesus, and we had come up to Jerusalem. I kind of rigged these trips that we start in Tel Aviv, we go up to Galilee, and as we're on a biblical study tour walking in the land of Jesus, we end our time in Jerusalem. And our first day in Jerusalem, we had got off our bus, we're going down the Palm Sunday Road, and we were talking about Jesus and Palm Sunday, and then we went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we were studying, and, you know, this is the places where all this happened. And Sarah, our Messianic Jewish guide, she's a Jewish believer that Jesus is the Messiah. Her phone vibrates, and it's a text message from the Prime Minister of Israel that says, "Welcome Woodbridge Community Church to the city of the King." And Sarah goes, "Oh, it's from Bibi," and that's the nickname of Benjamin Netanyahu. And she goes, "Oh, I told him you guys were coming here, and you're a very special people from California." And I'm like, "Really, Sarah?" I go, "That's awesome." And she goes, "Yeah, look." And she shows me her cell phone. It's all in Hebrew. So I told her I'll take her word for it. The Nordstroms are people who go to our church here. Dwight and Jewel Nordstrom. And they came up to us. They said, "Well, I'm so glad that you're doing Experiencing God. We know the Blackabees. We've worked with them quite a bit in work, and so she tells him that night, Richard, Henry's now gone to be with Jesus, that we were doing that. He goes, "I want to send you guys a greeting." So there you go. Isn't that cool? It's kind of cool. I kind of like it. So we're 6 weeks in. It's halftime for us as a Jesus community. 6 weeks ago, we began a series called Experiencing God. It's a really great tool to be used. It's quiet times, it's Bible memorization, and it's 12 weeks of just trying to figure out God and knowing how to experience and walk with God. We're halfway in. Now, I have to say this. I've been getting a lot of I just love hearing this. Pastor Frank, I've been doing this for 6 weeks. Pastor Frank, I have to confess to you, I struggle with my quiet times. And I have a hard time getting into rhythms of studying the Bible every day. But for the last 6 weeks, every morning, I've been in a rhythm of opening, reading the scriptures, doing this. And I'm totally blessed, this guy. He says, some of the things I read, I don't maybe agree with. That's okay. Me too. But he says, I love this. I'm experiencing God. See, that's my paycheck when I hear stuff like that. Have you been experiencing God? Have you been experiencing God going through this? We're halfway in, and starting for the next half of this, we want to do an Experiencing God challenge to everybody. Does anyone remember the ice bucket challenge? Has anyone ever heard of this? One day, I'm out in front of my house, and my neighbor across the street is filming herself while her son is pouring a bucket of ice-cold water on top of her head. I didn't know what that was. I was ready to call 5150s, or, you know, I don't know. Are you okay? Oh, we're doing the ice bucket challenge. What are you doing? Well, you know, hey, we're going to do the Experiencing God challenge over the next 6 weeks. Have you been experiencing God? Have you seen God at work? Are you watching God move, maybe in your life or in the life of people? If you are seeing this, we want to challenge you to write it down. Take note of it. Journal it. Share it in your growth groups. You guys, this week I experienced God. Tell us the story, either in my life or in the life of somebody moving. Put it on your Facebook page. Make it a witness. Hey, at my church, we've been going through this. I have to say, I just saw God work. And we're going to ask you, lastly, send it to us. And if you look on your bulletin or you go to our website, there's a hashtag where you can just record this and let us know so we can begin compiling seeing God at work in our midst. Is God at work? Let's put God to the test on this one. Jesus says, my Father is always about his work. God is always moving. Is that true? Let's put him to the test. A few weeks ago, my wife was sharing with me that she just felt a burden that she needed to call somebody in our church. And she felt like God was saying, you need to call this person. And 24 hours later, she was feeling like God saying, I really want you to call this person. So she ended up reaching out to this person, our church is cold turkey, and as she does, this lady says, I can't believe you're calling me. You've been on my heart. I feel like I need to call you. And then she began sharing about things in Unit 3, how God pursues a love relationship. And this person was struggling with some of the material and struggling about really entering into the love of God, which is so beautiful because my lady journeyed through that. And they met here at the church, and 2.5 hours later, it's called experiencing God, people. This person went through a breakthrough in their walk in trying to understand God. The Lord is at work all over the place. Did you hear me? God is at work all over the place. We want you guys to begin writing them down, there it is. It's like, has anyone ever gone whale watching? It's really cool when there he is. He's always there, but every now and then God just pops up and there he is. Record it, write it down, and let us know about it. Tell your small groups about it. Journal it. Put it on your Facebook page and send it to us as a church, okay? Okay? So it's a challenge. So I double dog dare you to take me up on this. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. So, did anyone get an email from me last week? How many people in here got an email from me last week? Yeah. So, Pastor Frank, there's been times when I've been technologically challenged. Last Tuesday, Dr. Marina Ball, godly woman, we all know her. She's becoming on the board of our church. And we as a church, about this time of the year, we always go through an exercise where we go through a time of confession within the leadership team. Is there any sin within us? And we begin looking at spiritual markers of where is God at work in the church and where is he heading and where is he going. We as a leadership team do the Experiencing God challenge every year about this time. Where is God at work? Where are we seeing him at work? If you want to know where God's going, you got to see where he's been. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Moses. You can, if you see where God's at work, you can usually see where he's going. And so we spend a time in going through this exercise. And so Dr. Ball can't be a part of this, so I sent it to her. Hey, Doc, I'm glad you're going to be a part of our team, and this is what we're going through, and so forth. And when I hit send, it went to half the church. We don't know why. I don't know what went wrong. The office, they're going, I don't know, we're actually trying to contact Breeze, this church software. We don't know what happened. Pastor, last Sunday, Pastor Vince shared how God speaks sometimes through circumstances. Well, maybe God's speaking through this. Maybe this. Maybe God wanted all of you to get this exercise. And I have to tell you, I've got some emails. Pastor Frank, I had to peek. I opened it up, even though it wasn't for me. And I went through it, and this was awesome. It was cleansing. I read the scriptures. I went through a time of personal confession, and this was amazing. So, hey, man, if you got it, go for it. Do it. We as a church, our leadership team, tonight at 5 o'clock, meet here, and we're going to be processing this and going through this. A time of spiritual markers. Where is God at work? What's he doing? Where is he moving? Why confession? Why confession? Why do you think we as a church, why as a leadership team, are we going through a time of confession? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your holy God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Why do you think the leadership of this church goes through a time of personal confession? Because of sin. Sin. See, sin breaks down the barriers of communication between us and God. Pastor Vince talked last week in Unit 5 about how God speaks, and you're going to be studying it more in the second part, God Speaks Part 2. How does God speak as you go through your experience of God this week? How does God is speaking, but how do we hear his voice, and how does God speak? And I want to talk about, there's a barrier that exists between us in hearing the voice of God. What are the barriers we have to overcome? Here we go. What's your greatest achievement? If I could ask you, what is your greatest achievement on earth, what would you say? If we were to ask Jesus Christ what was his greatest achievement on earth, what do you think he would say? Walking on water, raising the dead, healing the lame and the sick. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God would tell us all that his highest, greatest achievement was done on the cross. See, at the heart of the cross is God's desire to give and to forgive. See, God is a giver. Look around. Look at this earth. God gave us a Savior to bless all people. And these are the in our sanctuary, we have the book of Genesis, where God promises that through the seed of Abraham, one would come to bless all the people of the earth. It's the first book of the Bible. And the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the angels sing of who this person was and the greatest achievement that this person has done. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and nation and tongue and language to be kingdom and priests to serve our God. Jesus' greatest achievement was done on the cross. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, here's a first note. And it's basic, but it's good to keep listening and hearing truth. The greatest thing Jesus did was washing your sins away and restoring you in relationship to the Father. It's His greatest achievement on earth. Note number one, sin is the barrier to our relationship with God. It's true. See, love brought Jesus to the cross, for God so loves the world. Golgotha came as a result of God's greatest desire to forgive sin. See, listen to this. As Jesus hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, He took on the collective sin of the human race. Of all the rebellion and violence and everything. See, all the sin of the past and the present and the future. Jesus absorbed all evil, the evil of humanity, of my life, the evil of my life, the evil of your life, in Himself on the cross. Selah. Pause. In that moment. Why? To heal. To forgive, to restore us to God. When Jesus shouted from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the greatest moment of His greatest achievement. At that moment, all sin fell upon Him. See, and we as theologians, all of us, we try to figure out what... We try to enter into this. You see, Jesus walks in perfect union with the Father. God the Father, God the Son. God, they walk in perfect unity, three in one. The mystery of the triunity of the Godhead. But at that moment on the cross, Jesus became so totally identified with the sin of mankind that He actually became the embodiment of sin. And the Holy Father looked away. 1 Corinthians is an amazing... 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin, He was sinless, to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's good to hear truth, isn't it? See, my brothers and my sisters, this is the highest expression of God's love for us. It's the highest expression of God's love for us. And this is the ground upon which confession and forgiveness is received. This is the ground. This truth is the ground in which confession and forgiveness is received into our lives. See, upon this ground, we abide in Christ, both positionally as a child of God and relationally in our daily walk with God. Positionally and relationally. Every moment of our lives revolves around this moment with Jesus in that cross. Are you righteous? God made Him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Are you righteous? Are you holy and blameless? According to Ephesians 1, yes. Not because of you, but because of Him. It's His righteousness that we're wrapped in. I love Christian baptism. We are brought new. Our old self dies and we are born anew, born again, born from above. Positionally, we are in Christ, righteous. Born again, born anew, born from above. Does anyone love Jesus yet? Do we really get what He's done for us? Oof, it's awesome. It's awesome. He takes our sin and we take His righteousness. It's the deal of the century. All sin, past, present, future, all of my sin taken upon Christ. All of yours. And He makes you righteous. Not because you're righteous. He's the righteous one. He imputes, there's a theology, He imputes His righteousness to you. It's imputed into you. It's given to you. You're wrapped in it. It's who you are now. Your identity is in Christ. Upon this ground, we exist and live as children of God. Upon this ground, this was the highest, greatest achievement that Jesus did on planet Earth. For you and for me. Note number two. God removes the barrier of sin from our lives so that we can have a relationship with God. Listen, both positionally and relationally. Jesus removes the barrier of sin from our lives so that we can have a relationship with God, the Creator. Both positionally, I'm a child of God, and relationally in a daily walk with Him. It's truth. With all this said, what does 1 John 1:9 have to say to you and I this morning? Listen to this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. The Apostle John wrote this to the Christian church in the first century. This verse is written to Christians. It's written to believers. And it's not talking about positional forgiveness, but relational forgiveness. How many parents in here have ever been upset with your kids? Does that mean they're not your kid at that moment? Nope. They're still positionally your kid. But relationally, there's a problem. In Christ, at the moment you guys said yes to Jesus, and Christ came into your life, at the moment you said yes and you received what He did for you on the cross, your sins were washed away and you became a child of God. Positionally, you're a child. Do you know there are times when even as a child of God, God might still be a little unhappy with our behavior? Did you ever hear the story? So when Pastor Frank was the youth pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church, we had three kids. And one day, my beautiful bride, Cinda, said, can you watch the kids? I need to go to the store. I said, sure, babe, no problem. She's at the store. I've got our three kids, and I'm watching them. And Jonathan tells me there's a snake outside our house. What? I go outside, and sure enough, there's a snake outside our house. I hate And I'm involved with this snake while all our kids are outside our house running around in the street. So my beautiful bride comes home and she turns the corner onto our street. She looks down the street and she says, what parents would let their kids play in the street? This is pathetic. As she gets closer, she recognizes they're her kids. She pulled up. And she was not happy. She looks for her husband who's gone. By the way, they're all muddy. They've been playing in our grass. I'm around the corner. And she, what are you doing? There's a snake. So, we had a conversation as husband and wife. She was upset, and she had a right to be. A right to be. I was derelict of duty, wouldn't you say? What were my options at that moment? I could try to defend myself. It's the kid's fault. They knew better than to play in the street, especially the little one with the diapers on. He knew. I could have blamed the snake. Other people have tried that. It's the snake's fault. Any other options that I had? I could have maybe owned it. Confessed that I blew it. And if I was to do that, what would I be seeking? Forgiveness. Beautiful word. Forgiveness. Friends, I always say this, don't marry an accountant. Don't marry an accountant. You need to marry somebody that doesn't remember all your record of wrongs, but someone that forgives. Right? You don't want someone that's keeping all your debits down and throwing them back in your face. I'm glad God doesn't treat us like that. You know, in heaven one day, God's not going to sit up there and spend the first 10,000 years telling you all the bad you did. It's gone. It's been fought. It's been washed as far as from the east as to the west. Amen, right? I'm white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet. Confession and forgiveness. See, relationally, God is willing to forgive, but are we willing to confess? Are you very good at owning your stuff? See, relationally speaking, not positionally, but as a child of God, from father to son, from father to daughter, God is always willing to forgive. God is a giver, God is a forgiver. Are you willing to confess? Do you confess? Are you very good at owning your stuff? Owning your mistakes? Confessing when you blow it? Or not? Note number 3. Here it is. Ready? Confession removes the barriers to our relationship with God. And it helps us hear His voice more clearly. Confession removes the barriers to our relationship with God. Helps us to hear His voice more clearly. See, the moment that I'm out there fighting a snake, I didn't lose my position as a husband, but our relationship was we needed to talk. How many times has God told you we need to talk? Let me say this. Confession is not primarily something God has us do because God needs it. God is not clutching tightly to His mercy as if we have to pry it from His fingers. See, confession's for us. We need to confess in order to be healed and changed and to grow. Confession's a part of maturity. See, when I agree with God that He's right and I'm wrong and I'm sorry, 2 things happen. A liberation from guilt. And a desire not to repeat my transgression. See, isn't this true in our relationships on earth? Am I wrong? Have you ever... So, there was a moment in my life that was so defining for me, and it was probably maybe 6 months or a year after this one on the streets, when we had Monday Night Football here at the church, and everybody, at that time, we would bring... food. And that day, my beautiful bride cooked for us a big bowl, a big tub, maybe to feed 20 guys potato cheese soup. And I got this big thing of potato cheese soup, and I stuck it in the passenger compartment on the floor, right? No lid. Should be okay. My 3 kids are in the back seat. I'm late. And you know that moment, should I step on the gas or should I step on the brake? The light is turning. How fast am I going? What were the intersection? And I'm like, no. It's got to be brake. And then I'm hitting the brake harder and harder and harder and harder. All the potato cheese soup spills out and just, it's a pool swimming in the passenger compartment seat area filled with potato cheese soup as I spilled it because I was driving too fast. And I pulled over into this certain area and I got out of the car. And I opened the door and I grabbed the potato cheese soup and set it down and I've got the, you know, and I let off a few colorful metaphors. Does anyone know what those are? Well, my kids were listening in the back seat. Good job, Pastor Frank. I struggled for years with rage, with an anger that became uncontrollable. And I've fought in it my whole life. That night, what was my options? To go into my kids' room and tell them that daddy was wrong. and I'm sorry. It's unacceptable. And I'm going to work on it. Daddy, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's okay, Dad. It's not okay. I have to own this. Do you know that was a defining moment in my life? I still remember it. It was so wrong. And the guilt of the Spirit of God. Guess who was talking to me? The Father was. Frank, we need to talk. What makes it so difficult for us to confess our sin before God? What makes it so difficult for us as human beings to say, I own it, it was mine? Is it pride? Is it? With Adam, it's the woman you gave me. Adam couldn't own what he did in the garden. Is it an arrogance, an unwillingness to take responsibility for what we've done? See, we always battle to wiggle out of it, not to own it. Is it pride? Friends, to confess means to own up to the fact that our behavior isn't just the result of bad parenting or poor genes or jealous siblings, whatever else we can think of. And maybe all those play into the mix. See, but hear me. Also in the mix was a choice. And that choice was made by us. And it doesn't need to be excused. It doesn't need to be explained. The choice needs to be confessed and forgiven. Here's a picture. What's wrong with this picture? How many people in here have ever ridden a jet ski before? They're great. Love jet skis. This is a picture of my dad's house at the river. He built this place down there, a little boat ramp. It's got a little beach. That's not my jet ski. That's my cousin's jet ski. Our family jet ski. See, jet skis belong. There's two places where jet skis belong. In the water or on the trailer. What's wrong with this picture? It's sitting on the boat ramp. My nephew forgot to hook the jet ski up to the trailer, so it was on the trailer. And when he gave it gas, it slid off the trailer and slammed onto the boat ramp with a big thud, and we all heard it. Wham! What was that? Go running out, and there it is. They weigh a lot, too. It took us a lot. We had to run over there as the bottom cracked. How are we going to get this back? We can't lift it up. It weighs too much. I'm sitting here, and all of us are starting to lift this. And he looks over at me, and he says, this quite possibly, maybe, might have been my fault. He looks over at me. There's nobody around. I feel so bad for him. He had nobody to blame. He couldn't blame the jet ski. He couldn't blame the river. He couldn't blame the birds in the sky. It was him, and he owned it. And he sits there and he looks at me and he says, this quite possibly, maybe, might have been my fault. I remember that to this day. I took a picture and I said, someday there's a sermon in here somewhere. This quite possibly, maybe, might have been my fault. Even there, he was trying to wiggle it out. Who can I blame for this? And he's looking. See, here's the problem. If you can't find anyone else to blame, who's left? You are. And to so many people, that's unacceptable. I cannot own this. It has to be someone else's fault. God, it's the woman you gave me. Adam was blaming God. We've got to blame somebody else. What is it with us? Is it pride? Is it punishment? Did you ever do something wrong as a child in fear of the coming punishment from your parents? Anyone? Do they remember those days? See, do we sometimes take into our relationship with our Heavenly Father the relationships that we had with our earthly father? And so we're afraid to talk about our sins with the Heavenly Father because we're afraid of the belt. I don't want to talk to God about this because I'm afraid of punishment. We take our experiences with our heavenly parents, and sometimes we transport them into there. No matter if they're right or wrong, we transport them. See, God in heaven is perfect. Have you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? See, one day Jesus was teaching. He was an amazing teacher. Jesus tells a story about a father who had two sons. And one of the sons says, I want out. And he says, Dad, I want you to give me half my inheritance and I'm leaving. He's kind of saying, Dad, I wish you were dead because then I'd have half my inheritance. But since you're not dead and I still want to leave, can I just have half of it anyway? And Jesus tells a story about how the dad gives him half of his inheritance and the son leaves. Remember this story? The son takes his dad's wealth and squanders it on loose living. Jesus tells this story. And then Jesus says that a bad time happened, like a pandemic, you know? Bad days hit the land. And this good Jewish kid is so poor and so broke and lost all his friends that he's feeding pigs in a pig's farm. And to a Jewish person, I don't know if you've heard, but bacon-wrapped shrimp is not kosher. Okay? So Jesus is telling this story. And then Jesus begins to tell the story. And he says there's a moment when this kid one day wakes up and says, the servants that work for my dad are living a better life than what I'm living right now. And I love it. And I'm going to read this for you. And it starts off with my favorite words. When he came to his senses. Do you remember when you first came to your senses? That moment of no more fakeness. Just the real honest truth hits you square between the eyes. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? Luke 15:17-24. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned. That's called confession, isn't it? I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went on to see his father. He went on a journey to go see his dad, right? But while he's still a long way off, Jesus says, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Isn't that, you should underline that. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to him, the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost. He's found. And so they began to celebrate. What does this story that Jesus gave, this parable, what does this say about the Father and and his forgiveness that comes with confession? What does this story say about the heavenly truth of God? See, the repentant son never did finish speaking his rehearsed lines before his father showed him, showers him with love and gifts. He couldn't even finish what he had to say. People, is anything beyond the reach of God's love and forgiveness for you and for me? Is anything beyond reach? No matter what we've done or no matter what our earthly father's experiences were like, good or bad, the love of the forgiveness of God as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It's perfect. Nothing is beyond the reach of the Father. His forgiveness knows no bounds. Do we understand that? And here it is. Here's your last note for today. And I'm talking about confession. Write this down. Write this down and stick it on your mirror in your bathroom. Confession is the point where my mouth gives voice to what my heart knows to be true about my sin. It's verbal. Confession is the point It says that the son came to his senses. There was a point. Confession is that point when my mouth gives voice to what my heart knows to be true about my sin. No matter what the reason or cause, and without excuse, genuine confession and repentance allows the soul to be most receptive to the abundant divine forgiveness that we have in Christ. And I believe Dr. Robert Soucy, I'm quoting his quote from one of my professors at Talbot. I think that's brilliant. Confession is the point where my mouth gives voice to what my heart knows to be true about my sin. No matter what the reason or the cause, without excuse. This quite possibly, maybe, might be. Right? Genuine confession and repentance allows the soul to be most receptive to abundant divine forgiveness. How about this one? To confess your sins to God is not telling Him anything He doesn't already know. But until you confess them, however, they're the abyss between the two of you. It's the white elephant in the room. When you confess them, they become the golden great bridge. See, last week, Pastor Vince talked about God speaking into our lives. Through the Scriptures, through prayers, through circumstances, God speaks to our lives through the church. This week, if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to remove any barriers that you might have between you and God. Is there? Remember the Isaiah verse. It's our sin that separates us from God. See, Jesus positionally takes our sins away on the cross. And relationally, Jesus forgives us when we confess. See, I believe this. Sometimes we don't hear God's voice because we don't want to listen. See, we hold on so deeply and tightly to our sin that separates us. Ask the prodigal. Sometimes we don't want to listen to God. I want distance from you. Hey, if you're distant with God, guess who moved? Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. See, God knows when you're fake. God knows when you're fake. Do you know when people are fake? Do you know when people are just giving you fluff and they're not genuine? I had a friend of mine, good friend. He could not stop lying. The kid, he just lied all through high school and college. There came a time I just don't want to be friends with you anymore. I just would always look at him and go, tch. He lied so much that he couldn't remember what the truth was. It's hard to communicate with people when they're not honest and authentic and real, and here it is. And God, do you know when people are giving you dishonest communication? Do you roll your eyes? Oh, gosh. Or do you sit there? See, God looks at this, He says, I'm just not going to listen to you because I know it's not real. See, God knows your heart. Honest confession, biblical confession, is for the honest person that wants to do real business with God. No games. No games. And see, that's what this exercise is all about that I sent out in the email this last week. That was supposed to go to one person and went to half the church. Maybe God wants you to go through that exercise. Maybe that's why it was sent. I don't know what happened. By the way, if you want a copy of it, I'd be happy to give it to you. Somebody said, Pastor Frank, you just be thankful. This is the email the church got and not the other one. I never write bad emails. I never say mean things. I had a buddy of mine said he sent an email to a person at his work that wasn't supposed to go there, and he got a reply back saying, this proves that you are a blank. I don't know what happened. But tonight at 5:30, the leadership team of the church is going to gather in this room. We sit before the cross, we sing songs of praise, we worship the Lord, and we all go through an exercise. And the way it starts, we read Psalm 139, and it's individual. This is a personal confession. God, is there anything in my life? Is there anything you need to talk to me about? Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." Have you ever prayed that prayer? "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Is there any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting? God, is there anything in my life that is not right, that you're not happy with? Is there anything that I need to be made aware of? Do you need to talk to me?" And we go through a time of personal inward confession. Is there anything between you and me? Is there anything that I need to talk about, right? Actually, Martin Luther said that as he entered into this time, he grabbed the Ten Commandments and he'd read through the Ten Commandments. And he would use that as kind of a way of saying, is any of this, Holy Spirit, read this with me. Is there anything in my life? And he would go, how about the seven deadly sins? Pride, anger, lust, envy, greed, laziness, gluttony. God, any of this? Talk to God about these things. And if anything comes up, what should you do? If you're in this and you get something, what should you do? This quite possibly, maybe, might have been my fault. God brings up something, you say, that was God. No, you own it, right? You talk to God about these things. Don't hide behind the bush and blame Eve, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession, forgiveness, closer relationship, better communication. See, confession removes the barriers of our relationship with God and helps us to hear His voice more clearly. Do you want to hear God's voice? You should learn the spiritual discipline of confession, of self-examination. And God is a safe person to talk with. I don't know how I can somehow explain. God is gentle and humble in heart, and He gives you rest for the souls. Every time I've entered into this time, I've never had God scream and yell at me. He's gentle and humble in heart, and He gives compassion, rest. God is a safe person to talk about anything with, and He knows it already. Why hide it? See, to come out from behind the bush and be open and real and authentic with God is a beautiful thing. Is there any stuff in your relationship between you and God that you need to talk about? If I had just blown off my wife and said, "I don't want to hear it. I was trying to kill a snake." If that was my attitude with my wife for 30 years, do you think we'd be communicating well? Nope. You own it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I've found. I was blind, but guess what? Any wretches in here? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Is anybody in here morally perfect without sin? I'd love to meet you. I got some great news for you as we close. Great news. God exists, God is real, God is holy, and God is awesome. God is offended in your behavior in word, action, thought, and deed. God is holy, and morally you offend Him. And God doesn't want to hang out with you. If God allowed you in heaven, you'd pollute heaven as you sit. It'd be like a dog that you found on the streets that you want to bring into your house, and it's got barf all over it and poop all over it. It's just, would you allow that dog in your house? You'd clean it up first, right? God has cleaned you up on the cross. His greatest achievement is taking all your sin upon Himself. And He's washed you clean. And now He's adopted you into His family. This is all good news. God forgives. God loves. God is a giver and a forgiver. As you walk with God in your daily life, God wants to mold you and shape you in the image of Jesus. God wants you to walk with Him in honesty and truth. He wants you to be real with Him. He wants to have a relationship with you. God pursues you in a love relationship. And the only person that can block this love relationship is you. You got to humble yourself and be open and authentic and real. And when you do that, you'll hear God's voice and you'll experience God. You will hear His voice and you'll experience Him. He's awesome. How's that for? Is that good? Maybe I just believe God said, Frank, you're going to teach this today because you sent that email. So you might as well tell the whole church what you're going to be doing as a leadership team. So there you go. Maybe you might want to do the exercise as well. Our leadership team's going to sit here and just say, God, purify, and we're all going to try to listen to God's voice, and where's God been at work, and where's He heading, where's He going, and how can we as a leadership team be good leaders for this church? So that's what we're doing today. May you do it as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Man, Jesus, would you just take this sermon and use it for your glory, God? Is there anybody that needed to hear this today, God? God, would you just help us, Lord, just to be open and authentic and real with you and with ourselves? I pray, Lord God, that you would just help us, strip us of all pride and arrogance. Help us to understand that you're safe and we can talk to you about anything. I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters in here, Jesus. May they experience you in ways they never have before. Pray this for your glory and in your name. Amen.